Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time again for another episode of the OC Spotlight, the only show showcasing the most incredible people doing the most amazing things right here in your backyard. And today, I always say this is the one I can't believe, but this is the one I can't believe. We have with us today one of the founders, co-founders, and executive director of the famous Newport Beach Film Festival coming up shortly here with us, Greg Schwenk. Did I say that correct?
You did.
Okay, Greg Schwenk. I don't know why we've never had you in here before, but we're glad to have you here now.
Happy to be here.
Newport Beach Film Festival. Let's just give people an idea when and where it is, and then we'll talk about why. But the Newport Beach Film Festival is your 24th year of doing it?
24th year.
And it's in, what, a half a dozen or so theaters around?
We take over about 10 screens throughout Newport Beach and Newport Beach adjacent. We utilize the big Newport, the lot, the Newport Theater in Corona del Mar. Mm-hmm. We also utilize the Triangle, cinemas over there at the Triangle.
Right, Angle Square there where all the restaurants or whatever it is.
Correct. And so, again, we take over multiple screens. And, again, it's October 12th. Through the 19th, so fast approaching. Okay. Tickets are now on sale at NewportBeachFilmFest.com, so Newport Beach Film Fest. And we have nearly 100 features from over 230 short films. We got 50 countries represented. We have nightly events and activities, all open to the public.
We're going to try and give you a highlight of all this stuff because there's a lot to digest. I suggest anybody interested go to the website again, which is NewportBeachFilmFest.com.
Correct.
And then you'll see opening night, closing night, centerpiece film, international spotlights, feature documentaries, short narratives, all that kind of stuff. Let's start by giving people a preview, or not a preview, a sample. What do you see when you go to a film festival? Because my experience, I've only been to a couple of them now and then. As full disclosure, I used to be in the entertainment industry 100 million years ago as a publicist for a bunch of celebrities and rock stars and whatnot. And so periodically we get to go to these things. But back in the 80s, I think it's really grown since then. I think the whole film festival scene, Toronto, Sundance, and all around the world, Palm Springs, all these things have popped up more or less in the last 20 years.
It's true, and this is our 24th year. Todd Cordero and I started the festival. We brought together the natural stakeholders of our community, both from Newport and the county overall, and we really said, look, this is a beautiful destination. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible community. We have amazing venues and locations here in Newport Beach, whether it's at Fashion Island, over at the Lido. We have a great event that we do at Sherman Gardens. So we have all these beautiful, iconic places in Newport Beach that we should share and celebrate.
And one thing you mentioned that we did another interview earlier for the Orange County Hispanic Chamber, where they're talking about specifically the Mexican Spotlight Night that you have coming up. What night is that?
That's the 18th of October.
All right, so right in the middle of it, there's a special night dedicated, and you've got a premiere film. It's not a premiere, but it's one of the first showings of
It's a Southern California premiere.
And it's a film called what?
Radical.
Radical, and it's starring somebody I didn't know, but he's very large in the Hispanic acting world.
Eugenio Debes.
Okay.
For the non-Hispanic community, probably most well-known for his supporting role in Coda, but also from the Spanish-speaking community, he is legendary.
He's on some kind of telenovela or something.
He's been in everything. He's been truly an exceptional...
And he's flying up from
Mexico City, yes, for this premiere.
For this premiere. All right, so that's one example. You also have Korean spotlights. You have a Vietnamese spotlight.
Yes.
Where you're going to showcase films from those countries. And the one that I'm most excited with, we'll talk about last year, is the Irish spotlight. Oh, my goodness. An Irish spotlight. Why do a spotlight of Irish films in Southern California?
Well, again, the Irish are good storytellers.
yes, we are.
My great-great-grandmother came from Cork.
Oh, there you go.
And so when we started the festival, I said, look, I don't know if anyone's going to come. And I said, it was a very small team at that time. I said, I'm going to program films that I like. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of Irish films I really enjoyed. And we just started programming those and building our audience, building our relationships and linkages to things like the Galway Film Flaw on the west of Ireland, mm-hmm. one of the top festivals in the world for Irish film and film in general. We have our deep relationships with Screen Ireland and Culture Ireland for being able to support and promote, again, Irish creativity and storytelling.
Walk me through. You reach out to these people blind and say, hi, we're putting on a film festival here in Southern California, in Orange County, not up in L.A., and we want to feature some Irish films. Did they say, are you crazy? Or did they say, wow,
how do we get... It took decades to build up the relationships. And that's, I think, in the 24 years that we've had the festival, I've seen probably a dozen film festivals come and go right. in Orange County. And again, my background's investment banking. I've done a lot of other consulting and other work. This is the hardest job I've ever had.
I would think, yeah.
And no one gets rich doing film festivals. It is not a career path that I would encourage anyone to take. And I'd say probably at least once or twice a year, I'll get someone somewhere in the world calling me and asking me, you know, hey, I'm thinking of starting a film festival. What do you think? And the first thing it says, don't. And that it's incredibly hard.
They come and they go. There aren't many that really last and survive, not long, like
correct.
Years have.
So now, we've become the largest film festival or film event of our kind in coastal Southern California, LA County, Orange County, San Diego County. Nothing comes close.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, because again, I don't think of Orange County as clearly a center of the entertainment industry. Hollywood is up in LA County. They don't do a lot of filming. I mean, occasionally they do some stuff down here, but most of it's up in LA County, as you would imagine, because for a variety of reasons, whatever it's the 30-mile zone or 40.
Yes, correct. Yes.
They don't want to, if they have to travel more than 30 miles or something, then they got to pay them overnight accommodations and extra and this and everything. So they try and shoot within a 30-mile radius or around the studios up there. But for all these reasons, I wouldn't think of Orange County as being it. But you said something on the last show that shocked me. Of all the Academy members, Academy of Film,
Guild of Academy members.
Orange County, next to L.A., next to New York, which you would expect is like the third or fourth
yes.
largest?
Yep. Well, I think we have a large contingent of Guild and Academy members that have traditionally come out to the Newport Beach Film Festival.
Right.
But now that we've moved the festival to the fall, there's an added incentive that's in alignment with major award season voting.
So you've got consideration of.
That's correct.
Go,
yes,
maybe you'll consider us for an award
correct.
Or whatever.
We've always been able to bring down the industry, but now even post-COVID, so many people traditionally, but now post-COVID definitely, have been bringing in or buying second homes.
Yes.
And I've been blown away by the companies that I interact with saying, oh, yeah, you know, the chairman of the company is living down in Newport now because we're only in the office 2 days a week.
Right.
Or, oh, yeah, we decided we're going to
move. And I like it down there, and it's
yeah.
beautiful, and so it's nearby, and I'll, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I
most
get
certainly.
It. I get it.
So, you know, again, so when we founded the festival, we said, look, we wanted to reflect the rich diversity of Orange County. So, you know, the idea that we would have a Mexican spotlight or a Pacific Rim spotlight with China, Japan, Korea.
Or Vietnamese spotlight.
Or
right.
Vietnamese.
Right.
And then we have our European showcase. We've got great films from France, Italy, Sweden, and Germany. And again, each of those evenings has a major after party. We bring together the different aspects of those communities. So, again, earlier we were working with the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
With the German spotlight, I work with GABA, the German American Business Association.
You know, who do you work with for the Irish? Is there an Irish business?
We have a very active consulate in Los Angeles. We have a number of organizations and groups in Southern California that are really dedicated to uniting the Irish community and expatriate community, or the Irish American community. So, and that's, I mentioned earlier the other show, I've really been honored to be an adjunct faculty out at Cal State Fullerton. Mm-hmm. And I get my students to work with us on the marketing side and the partnership side
right.
of these films. And that's what I really try to teach them is that hands-on partnership building with these different groups. And that's what's
really... a whole different way of marketing a film. You're not marketing a Hollywood blockbuster. You're not marketing
right.
Barbie.
Correct.
You're not marketing, you know, Star Trek or Star Wars or something. You're trying to market a niche, a genre that appeals to a certain community. Maybe it's a great film and everybody would want to see it, international films in general. But by and large, it starts with the community that this film addresses. Right?
Well, you with anything, you're always going to look for the core.
Right.
You know,
good way
and
to put it.
The methodology that I'm trying to put forward with them is completely transferable. You know, you're reaching out to, you know, if you knew nothing about the Irish and Irish American community in Southern California, by the end of my class, you know exactly who's out there, What do they read? What do they listen to?
Exactly.
How do they communicate?
What their demographic looks like, what their tastes are, where they're located, everything, how to reach them.
Yes. Yeah. And it's true with all the different groups that we work with.
French Spotlight. You have a Japanese Spotlight.
Yes.
You have a Swedish Spotlight. There's another group I wouldn't think, why have Swedish films?
I
got to
tell you,
California?
The Swedes, they're a great group. A lot of fun. And Sueya, Orange County, Sueya, LA, Sueya, San Diego. Vasa, all their groups.
All the Swedes listening are nodding and saying, oh,
yes,
yeah, I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he knows his stuff. And that's the fun part is, one, being able to unite people through the medium of film, but also that this, as we mentioned earlier also, it's very inclusive. This is an elegant, beautiful event, and I'm very proud of our production team. I'm proud of everyone that's come together to make this happen. But the idea that you can come out and for any of our big spotlight evenings, it's a $50 ticket to go see the movie and go to a party afterwards with a hosted bar by Tito's, handcrafted vodka.
Right.
You've got some of your major restaurants doing signature tastings. Mm-hmm. You've got entertainment, DJ.
The Irish Night is sponsored by Guinness, I think, or
that
something.
Is correct.
And you're
going
to go over to Muldoon's Irish Pub. We've been in here, yeah. It's a celebration of that community and art about that community. With a story from that community.
Yes.
And it's an experience. So I think that's what people are missing. I confess, in the 24 years, I've never been to the Newport Beach Film Festival. We're going to change that.
We're rectifying it this year.
And I think partly because you think it's just for one of two groups. It's inside baseball. It's an invitation-only thing for people within the film industry, the Academy members, the Guild members, or whatever. It's a way to showcase independent films. It's traditionally a way to break new films or new people into the business. They run a little 10-minute short and they just got out of college and maybe that'll lead to a distribution deal and being discovered and something bigger will come out of it. Or it's for real hardcore film buffs. People are just really into this art. The general public, most of these films are not something you've ever heard of. Maybe you don't know if you want to go see them because they're international films or they're shorts or whatever here. But you're cultivating, you're taking advantage of the diversity of Orange County, which has got to be one of the most diverse counties that I know of anywhere in the country here. I mean, there are large Korean populations, Vietnamese populations, Persian populations, Hispanic populations. I can go on and on. I don't know about Irish. I didn't think there was a large Irish population. But there are large groups here within this community that you can tap into and I think would welcome a spotlight, a film from their world.
Most certainly. And again, we are already starting to build for next year, which will be our 25th anniversary. Hard for us to believe that it's been around that long.
Yeah,
that
really.
And I tell people I had hair at that time. So if you can see me now, I don't have any. The other thing I was going to mention is all of our films, traditionally, we try to bring someone out from that film.
Yes.
So
it's hard this year because of the strikes and all
correct.
The other stuff. So you're talking about that, how you've had to get special waivers and whatnot to work with this because during we're recording this during the current strike against the Actors Guild, or the actors are out on strike and the writers are out on strike, not the directors anymore.
That's correct. No, they've resolved
They settled it. But two groups are out. And so the theory is if you're on strike, then you don't do anything to support them, not only making the film or planning the film, but promoting the film afterwards. Yeah.
Well, we're one of the few festivals that has declined and returned money from struck companies. So it's called the AMPTP.
The big companies that they're striking against, the
correct.
Netflix and Disneys of the world. And
so, we said this year we're gonna take a beat and not accept that money and that sponsorship. Next year we'll be back, looking forward to it. But we wanted to make sure everyone felt comfortable coming out.
Right.
And we're also pursuing, as you mentioned, with many of our independent films, what are called interim agreements with SAG, allowing truly independent films to take that interim agreement and be able to promote and engage.
Because that wasn't the purpose of the strike. They're trying to
That's
renegotiate.
Correct.
So it isn't to kill independent films or independent voices here. It's to renegotiate the major contracts with the major studios.
That is correct. Right. And then the other piece to it from the festival perspective overall is, again, getting people out as an audience, but also getting people out, again, associated with the film, to take what is usually a passive experience of going to the movies and make it really interactive. Most of our films will have a Q&A afterwards, so you can ask that question. How did you do that shot? What did that look like? How did you get started in this? And it's really kind of a fascinating experience going to the Newport Beach Film Festival, going to see a couple of movies, maybe going out to a nice lunch in Fashion Island,
right.
see another movie, and then going to one of our big after parties or events. Again, all open to the public, all on our website at newportbeachfilmfest.com.
And you can certainly just go and see a film at 10 o'clock on a Thursday or something, some little independent film, some foreign film, something that's being highlighted here at the festival. You can just go see one film if you want, or you can see a whole bunch of them. There must be packages or something you can buy for one film or for multiple. But what fascinates me are these spotlight nights where you have, for $50, a whole evening out, which includes the red carpet experience. You literally can show up in a red carpet and take pictures and stuff. And there's the stars, and there's the directors, and there's some people there, because these are probably either foreign films or independent films, and they're trying to promote them. And some pretty successful ones for the Irish night. Anybody who likes Irish films like I do, Jim Sheridan, is there a bigger name in the last 20 years and as an Irish director here? And The Name of the Father, you're going to re-screen again here, which was a huge film. Yes. And then the other one he did, My Left Foot, with both with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes. So we'll be the we're hosting the 30th anniversary of In the Name of the Father. We've got Jim Sheridan flying out from Dublin to be with us at the festival. We also have two other new release Irish films for that evening. One is called Woken, and it's a world premiere, so you get to be the first audience to see that. Mm-hmm. And then we have a film called Double Blind, which just premiered at the Galway Film Flaw in Galway. And I think
Galway Bay.
Yes, right. And I think we're the either U.S. or North American premiere for the film.
So, again, if you go to that night, if you buy that package, you get to see a film or a couple of films maybe in that
So night? No, what happens is you have to choose one of the three. But let's say you want to meet Jim Sheridan. You want to see the retrospective 30th anniversary screening of the film. He's going to do a Q&A afterwards talking about experience of working on that film and other films. Then we're all walking over to Muldoon's, which is literally right around the corner.
The party continues.
It does.
Everybody starts to lift a pint. And
exactly. And then, again, we've got films from about 50 different countries. It's just not smaller independent films. We have films. We're closing with a wonderful film called The Holdovers. Paul Giamatti, sure, Divine. Yeah. So we've got a lot of cool people involved
Divine,
with the film.
Divine?
No. It's a different one.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of the Hairspray.
And then we have...
See, even you can't remember it all.
I can't. No.
You can't. You got so much stuff there. If you're at all interested in foreign films or in independent films or in just celebrating art that you may have never seen before. These aren't the big Hollywood blockbusters necessarily, but some of them are studio. You generally do. You have some studio releases because they take advantage of that audience and want to sample something and show something and
almost certainly
and plant a seed, right?
We've got Naiad, a great film that people are going to be interested in seeing. Have May December. Todd Haynes is coming out, major director, major film for this year. And then we've got just again a wide range of both your films that you're going to be seeing nominated for an Academy Award coming up, but also films, again, as you pointed out, that are a little bit more subtle.
And how does your festival fit into the range? Certainly Sundance is known as the place where they premiere lots of up-and-coming artists, of small stuff. And maybe they get a distribution deal on some independently made film. But it's generally kind of that up-and-coming independent art kind of stuff. A lot of festivals kind of filled that role. I think Toronto and some others like that.
Well, certainly. Look, Toronto's the largest film festival in North America. It's gigantic.
Right.
Sundance is sort of the Coca-Cola of film festivals, and everyone thinks that that's what
that's what
Sundance,
a film festival is.
Correct.
Right, yeah.
And the big thing, I love Sundance.
Multiple showings at multiple theaters throughout the week. Yeah.
Right. The big thing with Sundance is it's become so large and so heavy. I mean, the cost just to go there is exponential.
Yeah. More. All of these festivals have kind of an exclusive, pricey...
Right. And so I think what's nice is that for the Newport Beach Film Festival, we're very inclusive. We try to keep our price points very reasonable. We understand that we are part of the community, so we have to make sure that we are at a standard of both the luxury and overall experience that people are going to be proud of.
And reflect voices and actors and movies that reflect the community here.
Most certainly.
Right. Well, I think it's an amazing thing. I don't know why I've never gone. Shame on me. And I think it's not for me. It's for people within the industry or real art buffs or real history buffs. And it must be expensive and it must be exclusive. And gee, I don't know what half of this stuff is, so maybe I don't go. But I think that's a mistaken idea. You're celebrating what we're all celebrating, art and different cultures and different ethnicities and just the joy. Something about the joy of making film with that. This isn't a giant $100 bazillion budget. This is something most of them are made for
much less than that.
And they were made on passion. They were made because maybe they're trying to break through, or maybe they're just trying to break through a message and just try and tell a story. Yeah.
And again, something for everybody at the Newport Beach Film Festival.
So we can give us some idea of packages and prices. If I just want to go to one film, what does that run?
It's $20.
$20. And then if I want to get a whole package of a bunch of films.
Again, I'm remiss. I should know this, but there's a whole different sets of...
Different price levels or something. You want to see half a dozen. Because you're going to screen how many films in a week?
We'll have about 200 showings.
200 showings, folks. If there's something you can't find in there, there's something wrong here.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
But we And just our shorts program is one of the largest short programs within a feature film festival in the world. We've got a great...
And how many people have even seen a film short? I mean, you see them on the Academy Awards, somebody wins for the short category. But most of the time, unless you go on YouTube or something else, you don't see the shorts. And some of them are amazing, creative, wild things that they do in shorts that are unlike anything you'll see in a regular film here.
Yeah, no, they're really great. Then we've got a strong action sports program. We work with a number of major action sports companies to bring you the very best in action sports films.
Surf movies. And
skates,
kind of
wakeboards, snowboard, ski, all that stuff.
Right.
We've got an incredible art, architecture, and design series. We work with the AIA. We work with other architectural organizations.
I can't even imagine what that is.
Mostly documentaries, but sometimes narratives that really celebrate art, or architecture, or design.
Hmm.
And again, an amazing lineup of that. Leslie Feibelman is our programmer. She scours the world to find really great films. We've got an incredible culinary section, so that's cinema about food.
And, you know, they're like water like chocolate or something. There's all these films that they just... The celebrating of eating or dining or cooking or whatever. You don't think of that.
Yeah. We have a wonderful film, Waiting for Dolly. It's a Spanish language film. Beautiful. If you don't walk out hungry after that, there's a problem. Susan Feiniger, who is an internationally recognized chef, famous for The Border Grill, Two Hot Tamales.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing her documentary, West Coast premiere for a documentary. There's a special reception that's being held at the resort at Pelican Hill. And she's putting together a 5-course appetizer series.
Because she made a movie?
Yes.
And she wants to promote and display this movie. And as part of it, then you can experience her real art, which is cooking.
That's correct.
Wow.
So we've got, again, just tons of stuff. I encourage people to go on the website, NewportBeachFilmFest.com. Take a look around. It's really amazing. I'm so proud of the programming team to finding great films and the production team to put on great events. And I think our community can be incredibly proud of what we have to offer.
I completely agree. And I'm just amazed. I've never been there. So we're going to fix that. For anybody who's saying the same thing, why not go out? Go see some wonderful films, some unusual films, some short films, some international films. And then maybe you go to one of these special spotlight nights and for like $50 or something, you can go walk the red carpet. You can watch the film. You can participate in the Q&A and the party afterwards, just like a Hollywood movie star here.
Everyone's a VIP at the Newport Beach Film Festival.
I like that. Everyone's a VIP. Well, thank you for coming. You are the VIP that put this whole thing together. Much success on the upcoming. Give us the dates again on the website one last time.
Sure. October 12th to the 19th, and it's NewportBeachFilmFest.com.
Okay. Something every night and something every day. Go check it out. The Newport Beach Film Festival right here in our own backyard. So there you have it, folks. One more reason to tune in each and every time to OC Spotlight. Find out the most incredible people doing the most amazing things. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center. OC Talk Radio. See you next time.